Well, this morning we're going to, how many of you get done with your Sunday school lessons in your class? Did you get finished with that topic this morning? I don't see any hands saying they got done. So we're going to just continue on and go into the priesthood of the believers. So if you'll go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. I'm just going to highlight some things that bring us to this that we talked about in our Sunday school lesson. The priesthood of the Old Testament was Aaron and his sons, and that was a family. The priesthood was a family with Aaron and his sons, and it continued on his family line right up to the time of Christ. It was Aaron and his family. And so you have different ones, different characters throughout that time. Remember, Eli and his sons, which were wicked men, they were priests, believe it or not. And they didn't follow after God's plan for the priesthood too well. And so that priesthood line had its failures. And the biggest failure was that they didn't live forever. They died. And we all face that, don't we? That's something that we face as persons on this earth. We face the thing that someday we will die when we get old. And sometimes it's like they say, the young may die, but the will die. The old will die. So it's wherever you find yourself, we just don't know how long we'll be on this earth. But we're still here this morning. So that was one difference there. The Old Testament priesthood was a family. Now, Melchizedek was a man. We don't know much about him in the back behind that, but he was back in the time of Abraham. But he was a man, one man. And it stops with him there. I mean, it says it continues on. That means Christ's priesthood continues on. Like his, we have no lineage of him at all. And so Christ's priesthood continues on. But now let's move on. So God separated the Israelites onto himself. Back there, and you will find this in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. And in fact, if you go back there, we have verses similar to 1 Peter 2 here. Let's go back and look at that. Exodus 19. Exodus 19 and verses 5 and 6 here. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandment, my covenant, then ye shall be my, notice the word, a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So God said back there, this is what I want you to be. So really, God's purpose for the Israelite nation was that they would share his goodness with others all around them, the nations all around them. But they failed that miserably. We know that. And we can't blame them too much because we fail sometimes too, don't we? We fail to carry that on, to tell our neighbors about the goodness of God. And so they failed that. They saw themselves as God's people and his people only, and anyone else coming in could not be part of it. And so they sort of failed that thing. And then God separated Aaron and his sons to be priests. And you'll find that in Exodus 29, verses 4 and 7 through 9 and so on. Leviticus 8 gives the order of the consecration to the priesthood. And so the priests were separated from the rest of the people, and they carried out their work as leading the people of God, God's people there. And so they were separated, set apart from them. And then in Numbers 3, God separated the Levites, the rest of the Levites, to help with the priests. And he gave them to the priest as a gift, so that they could help them with the work of the tabernacle and so on. This is all back there in the Old Testament. And so the care of the tabernacle was theirs. And it was given to them instead of the firstborn of the Israelites. And that's interesting when you think about it. God said, the firstborn are mine. Well, let's go back and look at that. The firstborn are mine. Numbers 3, verses 12 and 13. Numbers chapter 3. Verses 12 and 13. There we go. And I, behold, I have taken a Levite from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the metrics among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine they shall be. I am the Lord. So God says, the firstborn are mine. Now, instead of all the firstborn serving me in that way, I'm taking the Levites, the rest of the tribe of Levi, and they're going to serve me in this way. They're mine instead of the firstborn of the children of Israel. So they're going to serve in the care of the tabernacle and so on. So what was the work of the priest? Anyone have an idea? What would you say was the work of the priest? I have stuff written down here, but I'm going to listen. Offer sacrifices. That was an important part. And if anyone else came in and tried to do it, they were in trouble, weren't they, Nevin? They weren't allowed to do it, okay? Anything else? That's exactly right. They were between God and man as a mediator. And we'll come to that in Jesus after a while, okay? But they were, that's what it was. The priest was the mediator between God and man. Anything else? It's another one I had written. Well, the priest helped in it anyway. But when they had judges in the early part there, the judges were sort of that, but they worked with the priest. Yeah, and so the priests were sort of part of it. But then when the king line came on, then it was the king. Mm-hmm. That's right. They received tithes and offerings from the people. That's another part of it. Anything else? See what I have here. Another one I haven't written here yet. There we go. That's the one I have written. Yeah, the spiritual leader. Lead the people in worship to God. That was their job. And so I think we hit the ones I had anyway. If there's any more, you could say them too. But it was also to bless God's people. It was the priest's job to bless them. And so when they would offer sacrifices, and the people were there, they would turn around from offering the sacrifices often and then bless the people. And so that was another part of their job there, to lead in worship and so on. Now, if you go to Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're going to go to New Testament now and think about this, which says, let's say it together, can we? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sacrifice. Notice the word sacrifice in there? What is our sacrifice in that verse? Present what? Your body's a living sacrifice. In other words, we don't kill ourselves in the altar, do we? No. Now remember Abraham. Abraham was told to take Isaac, his son, and slay him on the altar. Remember that account? But when he got him there, and he had laid his son on the altar, what happened to stop it? The angel stopped him, didn't he? Said, Abraham, Abraham, now I know that you fear God. I know that now. Don't lay your hand on your son. And Abraham looked behind him, and there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And so Abraham took that ram and offered him instead of his son. And so it becomes a type of Christ in our behalf. Christ offered himself for us as a sacrifice. And so we didn't bring animals along this morning. Now, see, John had a sheep in here one time, didn't he? But we didn't offer it as a sacrifice. But we don't bring animals to church with us. That was part of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament law. But here, let's go to 1 Peter 2, if you have your Bibles open to there. We're going to go there right now. And all believers are part of this priesthood, a kingdom of priests. All believers are a kingdom of priests. And so we're going to talk about the priesthood of believers. And chapter 2 and verse Here in verse 5, you have it first of all. You also in lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And go to verse 9 again. And you have here, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So first it's holy priesthood, and then a royal priesthood. What's the word royal mean? Who's part of the royalty? Kings and queens and that kind of thing, isn't it? So you go to England. We have royalty over there, don't we? We have King Charles and his queen and so on. It's royalty there. And here it says we are a royal priesthood. We'll get to that then. But let's think about this. Paul uses these symbols. The priestly symbols were to refer to his ministry. Let's look at some places first before we get into this in 1 Peter. Go back to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 verse 16. Where Paul says this. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that I, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So here Paul is using the Gentiles being offered to God as a picture of the offering of the Old Testament. Picture of the offering. He said the offering up of the Gentiles. And so there he's talking about offering the Gentiles. Be sanctified. They're acceptable to God. They're sanctified by the Holy Spirit, he said. Go to Philippians 2, verse 17. And this is what Paul says there. He says, if I be offered upon the sacrifice of your faith, he's talking to the Gentiles here, I joy and rejoice with you all. So I think Paul was talking about his death. Another translation there would give that, if I am poured out as a drink offering upon your sacrifice. That's interesting. Paul is thinking back to the Old Testament covenant and how they poured out the drink offering on the sacrifice. So I think he's referring to his death of martyrdom there. So we are priests to bring God's word to men and to bring men to Christ. That's two of the important parts of priesthood, to bring God's word to men and to bring men to Christ. Now let's look at 1 Peter 2 here and see what Peter is saying here. Start at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted the Lord is gracious. Now we're talking about who we're coming to here. To whom coming as unto a living stone. Who's the living stone? Christ, disallowed or rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones. Now who's he talking about? Us, Christians, okay? As lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now let's read together verses 9 and 10, shall we? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What's the next two words in your Bible? Beginning of verse 11. Dearly beloved. I like that. Peter's talking to these fellow believers here. Dearly beloved. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let's leave off reading there. Now let's talk about this priesthood of the believers a bit here, off of this description here. Living stone. We said that was Christ, and he was rejected of men. Remember what the Jews cried when Jesus was on trial? What did they say about him? Not about him, but what were they telling Pilate to do? Crucify him, away with him. All four Gospels record that. Crucify him, away with him, do away with him. We don't want him. His blood be upon us and our children, they said at one point. Rejection. Jesus faced rejection. But what was he in God's mind? He was the living cornerstone. Now, what's a cornerstone? We don't have too many cornerstones, I don't think, in our day when we build, do we? I don't think they'd line up like they did then. But what did they use a cornerstone for? Does anyone know? It was the starting point of the building. And all the building fit around that cornerstone. It had to align itself with the cornerstone, all the building. And so that's what he's talking about here. Christ is this living cornerstone. He's alive. He's not dead. Christ is not a dead Savior. He's alive. He's a living cornerstone here. And all the building is fit around him. So they were crying, crucify him. But how did God view Jesus? But he said he was chosen of God, rejected of men, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. What's precious? Something that means a lot, okay? Very valuable. Something that's real valuable. Peter likes that word precious. Let's notice some places where Peter used it. Let's look here. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 7. And there Peter says, the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. How precious is gold? It's the most precious metal there is today, isn't it? I think it is. But gold, more precious than gold. We helped clean out some houses where people had coins. And two of them now, they had gold. Gold was valuable. So gold, which is precious, Peter says, your faith is more precious than gold. The trial, in fact, not your faith alone, but the trial of your faith. God tries us to make us strong. He wants us to grow in him. The trial of your faith is precious. Let's look at another. Let's look at verse 9. Again here, verse 19. 1 Peter 1:19. But with the, we are not... For as much as you know, you were not deemed redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the what? Precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter said Christ's blood was precious. That's what saved us. That's what washed our sins away. The precious blood of Christ. That's what we're redeemed with. Now to go to chapter 2 and verse 4. Here we have it. It was disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. In God's eyes, Christ was precious. And we need to view it the same way as what God did. Look at verse 6, and this is a copy taken from Isaiah chapter 28. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Elect, that word elect means chosen, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, or shall not be turned away. Christ is precious, and that God chose that way for us to be saved. That was God's way of saving mankind with the precious blood of his son Jesus. Let's move on. That was verse 7. No, but unto you which he believeth, he is precious. And all of them which did disobedient the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has made the head of the corner. So he's precious to us, but to the unbeliever, he's not precious because of what they're facing, because they rejected him. Let's move on then. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. No, verse 1. Notice, to them who, Peter said, he's writing as a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Did you ever hear that term before? Like precious faith. We are together here this morning as those of like precious faith. Our faith is precious. It's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so it's like precious faith. In verse 4 again in chapter 1 there, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So the promises of God are precious. And they're given unto us as God's children. Precious. The word precious there. Chosen of God and precious. And so the lively stone was Jesus Christ. The lively stones are us. Got lost here. Okay. So who are the lively stones? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and note who they are. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 to 22. 19 to 22. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. He was talking to Gentile Christians here. He says, you're no more strangers and foreigners now. You're part of us, of the household of God. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the what? Here's our term. Chief cornerstone. There it is. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone that we're built on. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. So God's Spirit is dwelling within his people. He's dwelling within us individually, but he's also dwelling within us as we meet together in this way. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So the Holy Spirit is here with us as we're gathered together this way, but he's also within us. Isn't that interesting? Can you get more of the Holy Spirit than that? We need the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. We need him to guide us, to help us make good decisions. And so that's what he's saying here. The Holy Spirit is that. So Jew and Gentile are one body now where the Holy Spirit dwells, both individually and also in the gathered body, the spiritual house he's talking about. Now let's move on then. He talks about a holy priesthood here. A holy priesthood. Peter mentions the word priest here, the work of the priest, to offer up spiritual sacrifice. He mentions that right here with this holy priesthood. Notice what he says. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's the work of the priest. And so that's our work as priest of Christ. Christ is our high priest. We are priests under him. So we are the priesthood of God. A holy priesthood. And I was thinking about a song. It just came to my mind as I was going through this. Is your all on the altar? Now this song is not in our books. It's in the Christian hymnal, number 402. But I have it here with me, and I'm going to read the words. Listen to this. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. You have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment alway? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all must be laid. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings with which we have prayed. To our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Who can tell all the love he will send from above? And how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. How many know that song? Let's sing the chorus together. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart doth the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. And let's move on here in 1 Peter 2. Note verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. That's the believer. What about the unbeliever? What's it say about them? But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, rejected, the same is made at the head of the corner, and notes what it is in verse 8. To the unbeliever, it's a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. We don't want to be among them, do we? We don't want to be among the disobedient, the unbelievers. We want to be of those that look at Christ as precious, that precious stone, that precious blood that was shed for us. Now, verses 9 and 10, and we read these together. Let's look at what he's saying here, verses 9 and 10. This is written to believers, our unique relationship to God as part of the body of Christ, as part of the priesthood of the believers. So notice what he says. A chosen generation. If you have an NIV there, it says God's chosen people. Chosen by God, a chosen generation. This people is chosen by God. And if we're back in the Old Testament where we looked at it in Exodus, God said, my people there are chosen by me. I have chosen them to be a holy priesthood unto me, and so on. Here, the church is God's chosen people. But he doesn't stop there. Here's where the royalty comes in. It's a royal priesthood. God sees us as special. Something that's really beautiful to him. This royalty, this royal priesthood, he says. And he just doesn't stop there. He says holy back in verse 5 and royal here. But he says, a peculiar people. Now, people look at that word today, peculiar, and think of something that's strange. Don't make sense. They're out of this. They're out of it, you know. They're peculiar. But that's not what the word means here. It means God's own special people. A people belonging to God. That's the meaning of it. A people that belongs to God. A peculiar treasure. God's special people. And then notice what else he says here in that same verse, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. Now, we say, well, it's lighter around us now. But how many believe this world is dark? I do. This world is dark. There's darkness all around us. People don't want to, they think of us as strange for being in church this morning. You know that? People think that. Why would you do that every Sunday? After all, you go in a building that's set in there, it's not air conditioned, it's hot, isn't it? Yeah. Why would you do something strange like that? But yet, we gather together because our Lord is precious. And we want to be with him. We want to gather for worship because of who he is. We are that special people to God. He has chosen us that way. And he gave us a purpose to show forth or to declare. Or I like this, one of the places I looked was to sing the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his wonderful, into his marvelous light. I'm going to read this to you out of the NIV. But you were a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, But now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What more could we have than that? Reminds me, take back into Ephesians, where he tells in Ephesians 3, I believe it is. He tells the Gentiles, you once were not a people, but now you are God's people. You once didn't belong to the children of God, but now you do. And he's saying that here too. You once were a people, but now you are because of God's mercy. You are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, as God's people, how should we live in this world? Look at verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now, I grant you, we don't live a whole lot like strangers and pilgrims, do we? We have so much. We're so blessed. But Peter, go back to the 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice who he's writing to. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he says, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the knowledge of God, and so on. So he's writing to strangers. Now he said, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, foreigners, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your manner of life honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak evil against you, speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works glorify when they shall behold to glorify God in the day of visitation. I'm going to give that to you also. Dearly beloved, NIV, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits you. What a thing to do. So abstain from fleshly lust, or another translation would be sinful desires. Abstain from them. They don't do you any good here on this earth. So abstain from that kind of thing. And let's line up with Jesus. Now let's go to Hebrews 10 yet. And see what we have in Christ. Hebrews 10. Verses 19 to 25. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The high priest went once a year, the Day of Atonement, into the Holy of Holies with blood to offer for the people. And it was a scary thing to do that. If his life was not perfect, if his life was not right before God, he could have been struck dead. Remember what happened to Aaron's sons when they offered, it says they offered strange fare. In other words, they offered an incense that they were not supposed to offer to God. What happened to them? Remember that story? God smote them and they died. Right there in the temple, right there in the tabernacle. He smote them, they died because they offered something they were not supposed to offer. It says it was a strange fare. But here he says, brethren, therefore, brethren, we have boldness to enter into the holiest. That's the most holy place in the presence of God himself by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The veil was his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day of Christ approaching. Let's walk with Jesus this week. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your house this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all that we have in Jesus. That he's our great high priest. And he's called us into the priesthood to serve in that way. To be a voice to those around us. And to show by the way that we live what it means to walk with you. So bless us as we go out in the world this week. Use our testimony for your good, Lord, that we would truly hold up Jesus. So go with us as we leave here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for your presence this morning and for your endurance of the heat and for your just go with us. Let's just pray that the Lord would go with us this week and help us to be who he wants us to be. Let's stand to be dismissed. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Depart in peace.